Let's see. So you asked me to put my preacher hat on so I can talk about something.
Well, that's right. He has a bill up. I wonder if it's...
Ah, you're right.
How long is it after there?
All right.
Oh, one is
okay.
Looks true. I don't do that. I do that.
I'd like to call the Senate Committee on Higher Ed to order. We do have a couple of bills up today, so we'll probably just, since Senator Dunbauer is ready, raring and ready to go, we will start right away. And Senator Dunbauer, and there are, you may be aware, there's a couple of people who have asked to testify, so if you'd like to give your presentation, and then we can go ahead and get to those people, too. So whenever you're ready, Senator Dunbauer.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I have today Senate File 603. Senate File 603 deals with credit transfer within Minnesota State colleges and universities. You know, I really wish I could preach to a whole crowd here, but we just don't have anybody, so it's just no fun.
Well, Senator Dunbauer, we have tried to start on time, and they do slowly but surely then come in as a few minutes late. They may still be on Senate time while we're on the right time.
We're always on the right on clock time. All right. Madam Chair, members, this is simple stuff. I get tired of hearing about it. I went through this with several of my kids that went through the MNSCU system and going from one college in the MNSCU system to another. And as well, I've been in the MNSCU system, and I have to hear from teachers, oh, you don't understand. It's my class is way different than the other. You know, to me, and honestly, the same book a lot of times. Calculus is calculus. I don't care if you call it a 3,000, a 4,000, a 7,000 class. I have heard from professors that say, oh, my syllabus is intellectual property. Well, not if you're teaching out of somebody else's book. I get really tired of hearing it and tired of hearing it from my constituents over and over and over again. And Madam Chair and members, what I found out was if you transfer credits from a MNSCU system to, say, Wisconsin, they'll take your credits. They'll take your credits. They'll look at it and they'll say, yeah, you know, calculus is calculus. We'll put you in wherever. Your biology is your biology. Your chemistry is your chemistry. And so I find it very troubling that we don't have some kind of interlocking system. We've done a study that's just about complete on this. I've always been either a co-author or trying to push some way to get this done. And I think it's pretty commonsensical. It costs students a lot of money to have to take the same class over just because some professor says it's different in my college, or I teach it different, and therefore it makes it different, and you need to take it over. That's just not right. It's not cost efficient, and we need to get students. If you argue that they didn't get a high enough grade, that they didn't show that they had a mastery of something, I'm okay with that. But don't tell me again that, you know, one class is not equal to another class, and that's really how simple this bill is, so that students know that when they go in one school and for some reason need to transfer to another within the same system, that they'll get equal credit for that same class. So I'll stand for questions. I think it's that simple.
Thank you. Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Youngbar, I think over the years we've all seen situations, you know, between colleges and MNSCU and the university and MNSCU. But my question to you, given my quick reading of the bill, are you going to allow for any exceptions, or what are you going to do here?
Senator Dunbauer.
Madam Chair, Senator Saxog, I think an argument can be made for certain things. If you're going into a certain degree work, and again, I've had some profs tell me, you know, my syllabus is intellectual property. And, you know, a lot of work I did with wastewater, for example, I followed a guy named Dr. George Tabangulis around the country and learned wastewater from him. Now, that guy could argue that if you want to have your degree in wastewater, that you need to take it under his coursework. And members, he did write the book. And he wrote many books on wastewater treatment, so he can make the argument. So if you're going into a specialty like that, Senator Saxog, I think that if the teacher did write the book, and if you need some kind of a specialty in one regard or another, that somebody could make that argument. But I think when you're talking basic chemistry, biology, math courses, calculus, some of your basic Englishes, though you might have something different on the agenda as well. When you're learning your English literatures, for example, or your writing, one might teach a different style or another. That's not relevant to a credit transfer. That only is relevant, for example, get into a writing style, MLA versus some other writing style. That would be in the specialty after you get your bachelor's degree. You could make that argument. I don't think you can make that argument in a bachelor's degree situation.
Senator Saxog.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Youngbauer. It still begs a question. I mean, shouldn't we have some part in your bill or sentence in your bill or phrase in your bill which does allow exceptions or has allows somebody to judge whether indeed they should be transferred? You know, I understand what you're doing here, and I don't disagree, but I think you ought to have something in the statute that, or in the bill that says something about exceptions.
Madam Chair, Senator
Saxog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm open to that, Senator Saxog. I don't think the teacher should be the judge of that. Again, they're going to be very much protective of their own classes, and that's what's really caused the problem. I fully intend to have this laid over and be part of an omnibus bill. It's pretty simple, and I think what you need to do is the members here need to discuss the hows and wheres of that exception, but that's not really what the legislation is about. The legislation is about the generalities that have been kicked around for so many years and cost people so many dollars in you know, extra year or so in colleges. And, again, I've seen it with my own kids and with my own myself in terms of the Minsky system. So,
Senator Peterson.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Jungbauer, do you have a sense for, you know, we've heard testimony in regards to, I think it's about 63 or 64% of our kids, our students, it takes them about 6 years to get through their coursework. That's the number I recall. I'm not sure if it was the U of M or Minsky, and why I remember that, because I know our private colleges are graduating the exact same amount in about 4 years. Do you think this contributes to the length of time that it takes students to complete their coursework?
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Peterson. I do indeed. And where part of the problem comes in is, for example, even with myself, I started out in at the Anoka Ramsey Community College. And then many years later transferred, but had gone through a lot of other education in between. And some of the coursework I took at Anoka Ramsey, they didn't want to accept. And yet, the math work, for example, and some of the biology work were the same books, just newer editions later on. And so, and the teachers made the argument, well, you know, we teach it different in things. And I didn't mind when I started going back for my biochemistry to go back through things because a lot of things had changed. But in terms of math, things didn't change, and so that's my personal thing. My daughter started on actually at the Anoka Technical College and in aviation, with good great aviation program, and transferred up to St. Cloud, great aviation program. Sorry to hear they're trying to cut that. We need that in Minnesota, the aviation program. And we're quite honestly pretty famous for it, second to North Dakota State University. But those kind of credits as well, and it's on basic core classes, and again, they were using the same books or even books that had, you know, might have been a different publisher, but certainly the same problems in the math and in the gen eds, as you call them. And so when you get into that, you know, the math is the math, the science is the science. If you're, you know, on those programs, it didn't change, you know, in that short period of time from transferring from one college to another.
And just as an announcement, quorum is present. Further questions? Senator Senjum.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Jungbauer, I wonder if you could go to lines 1.10 through 1.12. And then I'm just trying to understand. Would you suggest that I always have to think by example, a a three-credit hour biology class at Rochester Technical Vocational College would equate to a four-hour biology class at Mankato State or something like that. Are you calling them equal? And they might be, but just how do we know?
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Sinjum. Senator Saxhog did come up with a good point on that, that there should be some way, and I didn't anticipate that in this. Again, you know, a lot of times we draft the bill based on some of the personal experience of you know, equal to equal in terms of what's the context of what's being taught. You may be right there, but maybe there was 4 hours because of the way the time block worked, and we do need to look at that. So I agree that I didn't think about that in the bill, and certainly that should be some kind of allowance. But again, my issue has been with the profs or teaching the classes saying, well, you don't understand, mine is different. And when you look at it on face value, it's not different. So if we are looking at those issues, we need somebody that has a disinterest in the actual class to be able to make that determination of the whys or wheres it would be different and why somebody would have to take over. And even maybe I should have in here that we're talking about general education type coursework, not specialty coursework, because I think the argument would be much clearer in a specialty other than your general educations. And that's really where people are having the problem with their gen eds transferring.
Further discussion, Senator Peterson, then we'll pass. Or did you have a follow-up on that, Senator Sinjum?
Well, and Madam Chair, perhaps now that we're into this, it would be at least interesting to me to find out how these decisions are made. At least in my experience, somehow a counselor, right or wrong, good or bad, always makes these, and I suspect makes them on his or her best judgment. That's been, again, my personal experience on. We've all been confronted with these, I'm sure. But I don't know how you take judgment out of some of this.
Well, and Senator Sinjum, we are going to hear about the report on the transfer of credits okay. In a few minutes. So maybe that'll help, and maybe it'll clear up some of those questions you've got. So we'll call Mr. Lopez up in just a few minutes. Senator Peterson, you had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I might ask Mr. Lopez the same question, but for Senator Jungbauer, What's the ultimate consequence? I'm trying to think if a student gets into a class that maybe is a little bit over their head because of a prerequisite they took that maybe didn't match up, that didn't totally prepare them for a class that they were moving forward and registering maybe in the third or fourth year of their collegiate career. What's ultimately the consequence if we would make a poor judgment and let a student in, is it just they fail the class and I think they maybe take it again? Is it more than that, or is it?
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Peterson. I don't think that's really part of the bill in terms of how you look at things, but I think, yes, you would end up taking the course again if you fail it, if it's necessary for your degree. The issue, members, again, it really comes down to that surrounding states will accept transfer credits at equal value that our own system doesn't, and that's what generates the bill. I just want Minsku to look at it the same way as Wisconsin does or Iowa does or North Dakota does or South Dakota does in looking at those transfer credits. Because when you're transferring out of state, you will get equal credit, and especially Wisconsin will literally take them carte blanche. And our own system won't do that. And I don't think that's right for our students to say, well, I can save a year going to Wisconsin because I don't have to take all these gen eds over. It's just not right.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I'll mostly wait for the report, but I'm sorry I got here late. We're just talking about gen eds. We're not talking about technical classes because it's not really clear in the bill.
Senator Jungbauer.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, I wasn't clear in the bill, and I should have been, and I do apologize. I expected to lay this over for consideration in an omnibus bill, and I expected to weigh in with the report on the transfers and things. I should have been more specific, but it is concerning gen eds. We talked about whether or not you go into a specialty if you need those specialty courses. I believe over 90% of the problem in Minnesota is that the gen eds aren't transferring from one institution to the other.
Well, I think that maybe it would be helpful to have Mr. Lopez come to the table, and I know that he does want to talk about this improving transfer of credits report. Is Mr. Lopez not here? Oh, I'm sorry. Please join us at the table. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you. For the record, Mike Lopez, Associate Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs in the Office of the Chancellor of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. I wasn't prepared, Madam Chair, to speak to the bill. However, I did come to describe what the Board of Trustees and the Chancellor have directed the system to do in terms of improvement of credit transfer. I'm sure you recall, Madam Chair, that legislation passed last year required the Board of Trustees of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities to develop and implement a plan to improve credit transfer within the system. We were required to provide a report to you, Madam Chair, Senator Pappas by February 15th. We did send the bill, or we did send the report, and so what I'd like to do is provide information for other members about the contents of that report. 15th. Now, even before the legislation was passed, in fact, during the 2009 and early part of 2010, Minnesota State Colleges and Universities had begun to address issues of transfer, particularly those that had been noted by the Office of the Legislative Auditor. You may recall the OLA did a study of the Office of the Chancellor during that year. Recommendations came through. There were some findings related to transfer, the system followed up in cooperation with our student associations, conducting a survey of students, their perceptions of their transfer experiences, whether credits transferred appropriately, their satisfaction with the transfer process, a variety of different aspects. And then following up on that, our own Office of Internal Auditing did a scientific audit of credit transfers that were done during fiscal year 2009 to find where there were problems, what the issues were. And so in response to all of these, the Office of the Chancellor developed what we're calling the Smart Transfer Plan to address the issues that were identified in these three studies. And the Smart Transfer Plan comprises five specific areas for action to improve credit transfer. The first of these is a requirement that all colleges and universities post course outlines on their websites for all of their courses, beginning with Minnesota transfer curriculum courses, general education courses. They will post a course outline for each of those courses using a common format. And board policy, and I'll talk about changes to board policy later, but by board policy, it is those course outlines that will be used by colleges and universities to establish the transfer equivalency of a course. So rather than, as sometimes happened and was pointed out by our students, previously, occasionally a student who wanted to transfer a course from one institution to another was asked to provide a syllabus to demonstrate the equivalency. That will not happen in the future. For these courses, the course outline will be used as a determiner of course equivalency. It will be the responsibility of the institution rather than the student to make the course outline information available to the receiving institution. The student will not have to go back and forth doing all this work. Another requirement is that colleges and universities use our electronic resources, web-based resources, to complete the evaluation of all Minnesota transfer curriculum courses to determine equivalencies across the system. And again, I'll describe these resources later, but essentially it's two systems that we call DARS, a degree audit and reporting system, and USELECT. And I'll describe those later. Another aspect that was especially important to students dealt with appeals. Our students told us, and it was borne out in their survey, that very often students were not aware that they had the opportunity to appeal transfer decisions made by a receiving institution. So often a student might have been told, these courses are not equivalent, they will not apply toward your major, something of that nature, and they simply accepted it without knowing that they had the opportunity to appeal that decision, provide additional information, and maybe get a different result. In fact, the survey found that 89% of those students that did appeal a transfer decision had all or some of their courses actually accepted in transfer. We've taken action at the very front to address this issue. When a student transfers to another institution, they get a transfer evaluation, again, using the degree audit and reporting system. We've required that on the transfer evaluation, there be a notation informing a student that they have the opportunity to appeal that transfer decision, and also directs them to information where they can find out how to appeal that determination. We think this is very important and believe that it will result in increases in student satisfaction with their transfer experience. In terms of compliance and communication, the fourth aspect, one of the things that again, we were told by our students was that they believe that transfer literacy is very important. For quite a long time, we had promulgated a message that transfer is easy, and the system was created to facilitate transfer. So we said transfer is easy. Well, transfer is easy, but you have to plan for it. You have to take correct courses in the correct sequence, and this requires transfer literacy. And so one of the things we're requiring our institutions to do is to put up front on their homepage, their institutional homepage, a transfer link, and then to include a page on their institutional websites providing information for students about how to plan for transfer, how to do transfer, how to make their transfer experience a successful and effective experience. Then finally, Madam Chair, training is the last aspect of the Smart Transfer Plan. We found that very often when a mistake was made in a transfer situation, that it could be traced to the training that folks had been provided or had taken advantage of. And so we are requiring within our Smart Transfer Plan that every staff member involved in doing transfer advising or involved in the transfer experience must attend at least one training session each year. It's not a situation where a person can attend training once and that's done. It's something that has to be done continually. We have to provide the initial information up front and then refreshers throughout the course of an individual's employment. The system has also incorporated a number of technology enhancements and policy changes to improve transfer. One of the things that we were told by our students and was cited by the Office of the Legislative Auditor was a lot of times students had difficulty with having their transcripts forwarded, having them evaluated, that there was a significant delay in this process. And so during the latter part of 2009, early part of 2010, we implemented what we're calling the e-transcript, which essentially is an electronic transcript process for transfers within MNSCU. So now Madam Chair, or folks who have transferred may have had the experience. You want to transfer, you go to the registrar's office, you request an official transcript, you pay $5 or $10 or whatever, and then the transcript is sent in an official sealed envelope with a seal, and if it's open before it gets to the receiving institution's office, it's no good, and you have to do the process again. We've done away with all of that with our electronic transcript. Now, when a student applies to transfer to another institution, the transcript is sent automatically from the home institution or from the original institution to the transfer institution. The student doesn't have to request the transcript. There's no charge to the student for the transcript. There are no copying costs, no mailing costs involved for the sending institution. And we found that this has had a significant positive impact on the response time for the evaluation of prior work that students have done. We've heard a great deal of satisfaction both from students and from the institutions with the implementation of the e-transcript. The board adopted a change to the board policy on undergraduate course credit transfer, as I said earlier, establishing a requirement that colleges and universities post the outlines on their institutional websites. And we have developed technology that will allow the institutions to do this. Otherwise, it would have required a great deal of manual work on the part of the institutions. It would have taken a very, very long time to do this. An additional amendment to the board policy was adopted in order to clarify that DARS and the USELECT databases are the official repository of course equivalencies within the system. The degree audit and reporting system is an electronic database which allows students to track their progress toward completing a credential. Essentially, they access it on their own, or they can work with an advisor. The DARS audit tells them these are the courses that you've taken, these courses apply toward your major, these courses apply toward your other requirements, these are electives, and these are the additional courses that you have to take. So the student can track their progress throughout the time that they're enrolled. USELECT is a web-based student-driven system that allows students essentially to look at course equivalencies actually not only within MNSCU, but across a number of different states. And, Madam Chair, I asked that a copy of a essentially a screen print from USELECT be provided to members so that you can see essentially how it works. And in this situation, I just picked out Century College transferring, I believe, to Bemidji State University and showing how courses taken at Century would transfer and what the course equivalencies would be at Bemidji State University. Madam Chair, what you see here is going from courses at Bemidji State and which courses at Century would be equivalent. You can also do the other way. You'll see there's a blank above Century College. If the course identifier had been entered in Century College rather than Bemidji, then the equivalencies would work the other way. And it would say, these are the courses at Century, and this is where they are. So this allows a student to plan, allows them to have absolutely no doubt, no question in their minds about which courses are going to count where. You'll notice that it also has an indication of which Minnesota Transfer Curriculum goal areas the course counts for. So in some, it's, I believe, 5 and 8, in some it's 5 and 7, in some it's 5 and 9, indicating that if you take these courses at Century, when you transfer to Bemidji State University, not only will this course count as the equivalent of that course, but it will also satisfy or count toward the goal areas in the transfer curriculum at Bemidji State University. Madam Chair, we've begun and are constantly directing a lot of time and effort reviewing each institution's Minnesota transfer curriculum. One of the things that is often not recognized sufficiently is that the curriculum process is a very dynamic process at the colleges and universities. The courses that we had on our books 10 years ago are not the same courses that we have now. Courses are constantly being created, changed, eliminated, a variety of different things. And as these courses change, the transfer curriculum or the courses that apply to the transfer curriculum also change. Course equivalencies change. And all of these equivalencies have to be maintained. And so we have made a commitment to ensure that we monitor each institution's transfer curriculum constantly. Madam Chair and members, the Board of Trustees of Minnesota State Colleges and Universities recognizes the importance of student transfer. It's one of our core responsibilities. And the centrality of student transfer to the system, I think, is recognized in the Board's direction that a measure of student student transfer be incorporated into our accountability dashboard. Some members may not be aware that the within our Minnesota State College and Universities website, we do have an accountability dashboard where the public can go and look at how our colleges and universities are doing in terms of a variety of different quality measures, such as the persistence and completion rate, the related employment of graduates, licensure exams, pass rates, things of that nature. And the Board has directed that one additional measure will be a measure of transfer. And we believe that this measure will make it possible for folks to evaluate us very, very publicly in terms of how we're doing in student transfer. Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions that folks might have related to the Smart Transfer Plan.
Questions for Mr. Lopez.
Thank you.
You must have done an awesome job. No, there are no questions. Everybody understands it completely. So, we do have one other person signed up to Mr. Larson.
Chair.
I'm sorry. Senjum just thought of something. Hang on, Mr. Lopez.
Nope. Yeah, let's just kind of boil it all away. If with the adoption of this report, I'm going to assume things, in your opinion, if there are concerns or problems, will improve somewhat incrementally at least?
Madam Chair and Senator Senjum, we have a commitment to improve transfer, and really it's my goal that every course presented for transfer from one Minsku institution to another institution be transferred appropriately. That is, be given credit transfer appropriately. And we're talking about 100%. That's our goal.
Thank you. Senator Brown, did I see you raise your hand?
I have a question for Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Brown.
Senator Jungbauer, I have some hesitancy with this bill, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to persuade me. But my hesitancy is we have a local governing board, the Board of Trustees, that oversees Minsku, and I believe in local control. Why should we as a legislature tell them what policy to adopt here? Why should we circumvent their authority in this area?
Senator Jungbauer.
Madam Chair and Senator Brown, I'm glad you asked that question. As a matter of fact, I believe very much in local control, and this is my ninth year here, members. What I've learned in 9 years is many times just offering legislation, getting hearings, bringing things out in the open, we get a great response from folks, and they'll come to the table and we find out that they've been doing some things, that they have goals to get the rest of it done. And many times you don't need to complete that legislation. So I agree with you, Senator Brown, and it's really up to the committee to determine to what degree this needs to finish being implemented. It's been a problem for years. I learned a lot of things that I honestly didn't know from Mr. Lopez, and it's changed rapidly in the last couple of years. So I'm excited about that. I still want to make sure that we complete that and that our wishes to complete that transfer are made known. Whether or not we need to legislate that or not is up to us as members and as a committee as well.
Thank you.
Well, Senator Jungbauer, why don't we bring Mr. Larson for his testimony?
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Larson, whenever you're ready.
And thank you, Madam Chair, committee members, and Senator Jungbauer for your time here. I'm Don Larson. I'm a faculty member at Minnesota State University, Mankato. Have been for about 3 decades now. I've served a number of roles there, including as my department chair, where I had some firsthand experience of various transfer issues. And I'm currently serving as the president of the IFO, the Interfaculty Organization, which represents the university faculty at the 7 state campuses. And there's a few more details about the IFO on the handout that I provided for the committee. I'm following up, and I'm glad that Vice Chancellor Lopez had the chance to go first, because I want to support many of the things that he had to say. And the first thing I want to state and try to reassure Senator Jungbauer and everybody else concerned about this topic is that the IFO as a body certainly supports removing unnecessary obstacles to smooth transfer of student credit. Our faculty, in fact, are involved in these issues on many different levels, ranging from simply crafting course outcomes and course outlines on the departmental level, serving on curricula committee in the colleges and at the university levels, and be involved in a number of different committees that deal with transfer in one way or another on the state level with MNSCU through our meet and confer process and other forms of relationships that we have there. Speaking as department chair, as I mentioned, I had opportunity to work with a number of these, verifying, for example, articulation agreements that our department had with other English departments in the system and outside the system, and even some outside the state. 2+2 arrangements, such as, for example, Minnesota State Mankato has with several other institutions. I believe Normandale and Century College in particular, we have several of those kinds of arrangements. I want to reaffirm some of the things that Vice Chancellor Lopez raised, and also to mention another detail which I don't recall him mentioning, and if there are student representatives, I'm sure they can provide more detail. But last fall, May, the Board of Trustees heard a presentation on a survey on transfer issues that have been conducted by the two statewide student associations in the MNSCU system. Of course, there are details in here when you get down to the finer level of things, but on the whole, the results, I think, were amazingly positive, that of the students surveyed, about 90% or so of the classes that the students reported having transferred did transfer successfully. They weren't necessarily always happy about the exact level of transfer or how it was accomplished, but you did have that success rate. Moreover, as Vice Chancellor Lopez has mentioned, it was also discovered through that survey that a large number of those who reported failing to transfer had not sought the side of had not sought the counsel of an advisor. They had done a minimal consultation with advisors, and many of them were also unaware of the appeals process that is already part of the MNSCU policy. main issue I have, and I appreciate the flexibility that Senator Jungbauer just expressed a few minutes ago about finding out the kind of details and how they're being implemented in the system. But I do think that the bill as written is really unnecessary, given the kind of processes that Vice Chancellor Lopez already described. First of all, as Senator Jungbauer suggested, the vast majority of transfers that take place from institution to institution are in the general education area. And those fall within what's called the Minnesota Transfer Curriculum, which covers not just MNSCU, but also the University of Minnesota as well. And it's a method of trying to determine that we're students, when they transfer between one body and another, have had similar kinds of experiences in that general education. So there are certain kinds of learning outcomes that students should be able to demonstrate when they've completed the courses or completed that entire transfer curriculum. If they have completed the entire transfer curriculum at a 2-year college or at any other institution, they also then have the automatic ability to transfer that package as a whole to the receiving institution, no questions asked. That's an imperfect system, in my view, because you only have to complete so many of the stated learning outcomes to have that entire package accepted. But that has been the policy, and it's been in place for quite some time. In addition, as Vice Chancellor Lopez described, the Board of Trustees and the system have been going through a revision of their own transfer policy, which has existed for some time, which was already a fairly detailed policy. Its general purpose, as he suggested, is to make transfer and equivalency information transparent and available to students and advisors and faculty members who are advising or serving in other purposes to make sure that we are comparing apples to apples when those courses are transferred from one institution to the other. These are being implemented through some of the things he described, the smart transfer plan, which involves the posting of courses on USelect and the NARS system. And you had that snapshot that he passed out, giving one example of how that can work. That implementation is currently underway. I think it's not going to be done overnight. There are a lot of places where we have to look carefully to make sure that all of the courses that are being posted do have stated learning outcomes, that they do have the kind of equivalencies that they ought to, that they're couched in the appropriate ways. But in my own personal view, this is going to be a tremendous advantage, not just for the students, but for the faculty advisors, for the staff who work in advising, to be able to simply look at those stated outcomes to say, here is what you have. Here is what is needed. The course as a whole can transfer for this reason or not for others. If the proposed bill were to pass as written, I think that would simply undo much of what has already been done. We would have to reset the clock. We would have to go back and say, well, what does the language of this bill mean? What are its nuances? What are its implications? And we'd really have to start again from scratch. Moreover, at the very least, it would delay the full implementation of that smart transfer plan. Now, on the one hand, I can really sympathize, and I'm really sorry that Senator Jungbauer, your family, and others, and of course other students, have been caught in certain transfer difficulties. Those things do happen. And, of course, I can't speak to the exact circumstances of any individual's experience. But from the outside, it does look very commonsensical that, yes, you know, course A here should equal course B over here. But that may not always be the case. I can't speak to calculus or biology because I'm not a scientist or mathematician. But for many other kinds of courses, it may be a tougher thing. Moreover, when you transfer, well, in my own experience serving as English department chair, when students would come in with a particular class, I would find them, if the courses were acceptable at all, they could fall into at least three general categories. One would be courses that would say, these really aren't equivalent to anything that we require. They're not really equivalent to anything that we have as a prerequisite. They're not equivalent to our own general education courses. However, you can certainly include and count those toward your total credits toward graduation as an elective. I could and did look at students and said, okay, you haven't completed the entire Minnesota transfer curriculum, but I see from the course that you bring to me here that this counts toward the humanities and the arts outcome, or this applies to the writing outcomes. And so I think that's valid, and then you'll have to get see what the other areas say in terms of what any other courses you bring for specific transfer curriculum courses. Whether or not the course met our own standards within the department for our majors or our minors or other courses that we had that were prerequisites for other majors offered in other departments and that kind of thing as well. To take one example, a student, and this happens quite often with students in the 2 years, where many times most of the English composition courses in the 2 years are two-semester sequences. Most of the universities, including Mankato, including St. Cloud, and I think several of the others as well, it's a one-course sequence but offered for more credits. The students meet more times a year and during the week, rather, and the work is more intensive as well. The key component there that I looked for in evaluating the learning outcomes from one student to the next would be, did this have a research component? Were you required to find material, evaluate it, and then use it to support an argument or supporting material in a written paper? And if there was no evidence of that, I would tell a student, then your English 101, it can count for an elective. It can count probably even towards part of your writing total writing requirement, but it does not substitute for our English 101. no one, and you will have to take that course. And that's where being able to see those kinds of learning outcomes listed on the web is going to make that kind of equivalency much easier. So if a student at a two-year college says, I want eventually to go to Mankato or St. Cloud, I've taken English 101, will that count? Their advisor should be able to look at Mankato or at St. Cloud and say, only up to a point. You're still going to have to get that research component in there in order to fulfill that. So I will, I think, perhaps simply leave it at that for the time being, and I will stand for any questions if you have any.
It does not appear. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have two questions from both testifiers coming up. And it seems like one of the keys I'm finding in English would be that perhaps part of the mandate, if you will, and maybe they're working towards it, would be to back some of these programs from the four-year institutions into the two-year institutions to make them more compatible so we have a little bit more of that. That's one of my thoughts. But the second thing is, in looking at USELECT, I've never seen it. I'm very familiar with the DARS system. So I'm wondering if this is implemented or how far implemented the USELECT system is.
Senator Jungbauer, might I suggest we have one other bill on the agenda today, and we've got about 45 minutes left. So might I suggest, because it appears as though there are some improvements you may want to make on the bill and changes, if we laid it over for possible inclusion and you would continue to work on it, would that...
It would be most wonderful, Madam Chair.
All right.
I can get out of your hair for today.
And Madam Chair, I'll just say I would defer to Mr. Lopez for any questions about USELECT, but if Senator Jungbauer has any questions about the faculty perspective on transfer, I'd be more than happy to talk with him at another time.
Well, and I think that would be the opportunity. Well, you know, if we lay it over for possible inclusion and you're able to work out some of those bumps outside of the committee process right now and bring us a new and improved bill. But I would entertain that motion from someone on the committee. Senator Senjum moves that we lay Senate File 603 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail.
Thank you so much for your time, Madam Chair members.
And now we have in front of us Senate File 565, Senator Benson.
Get her up here.
Senator Benson, welcome to the committee.
She doesn't have to have a seat.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for accommodating me today. I place before you a bill relating to higher education, in particular the study of for-profit graduate institutions. I do have an author's amendment. It is the A2 amendment that I'd like to place before you. The purpose of the amendment is to narrow the focus of the study to the most relevant and pressing issues so that the Department of Education will have relevant scope. They can expand it if they choose to, but the amendment narrows from the original legislation.
And members, that the A2 amendment is in your packet. If someone would like to move that for Senator Benson, that would be helpful. Senator Senjum moves the A2 amendment. And my understanding, it is an author's amendment. All those in favor of the A2 say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. So working from the amended version off of the A2, it is a delete everything. So working off the A2, Senator Benson.
I don't have any testifiers with me today because I believe this is a fairly straightforward piece of legislation. It came out of a constituent concern and a related court case from a for-profit institution and a conflict with a graduate student. And it appears there needs to be some clarification on communication in the graduate program. And we thought that perhaps the best way to bring that forward would to be ask the Department of Higher Education for a study in specific areas. Those areas are outlined in the amendment. The disciplinary process, intellectual property, and the administrative process for addressing disputes, which were not clear to the graduate student and I think would benefit all those entering into contracts with for-profit higher education. For-profit higher education is emerging in Minnesota as an ever-growing and increasingly popular option, especially for adults returning to school. but it's relatively new. While our private colleges and obviously our public institutions have developed relationships over a long period of time, these issues don't appear with them as frequently, and we would just like to direct the department to conduct a study to help improve the relationship between those for-profit institutions and their graduate students. I've spoken with the department. They have no issues with conducting the study. And the for-profit institutions that I have spoken with believe they are of a quality and caliber that the study will show good things about them. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Are there any questions from the committee for Senator Benson? Senator Carlson, you look puzzled.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Carlson.
Senator Benson, I was looking at the fiscal note. I'm guessing that if there's a study to be done, a fiscal note would be required, but I don't see any dollars on here. Can you address that, please?
It's within the scope of the duties of the department, and so there was deemed no additional work hours.
And Senator Carlson, it says under the assumptions on the back page there, the agency is able to undertake the study within current resources.
My apologies.
We're here to help. Further questions? Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Benson, I noticed in here that you have a discussion or within the scope, the graduate student's intellectual property rights. Is that kind of boiled up as an issue?
It was an issue in the particular litigation that transacted between a for-profit institution and a graduate student in one of their programs. There was a copyright issue. And as I said, our public institutions and private colleges have dealt with this issue over a long period of time, and we're just looking for some clarity in that relationship in the for-profit graduate programs.
Well, Madam
Senator Gimsey.
Senator Benson, this subject has come up with our University of Minnesota and in a couple of other areas, too, where we seem to be having a conflict with getting cooperation between private industry and the university and some studies and the access that the institution then would have to the intellectual property and then what becomes the right of the institution when you're talking about intellectual property. I was just wondering if this type of thing is a contractual arrangement between the student prior to them getting the copyright, or I guess what I'm looking for is a little bit of background if you know the answer to that question.
Maybe it's
in the litigation that you're...
Part of the
Senator
reason
Benson.
For... I apologize, Madam Chair, Senator Gimsey. That's part of the reason for the study. It was not clear to the student, and through the process of litigation, it became more clear that the intellectual property belonged with the lead researcher, not with the student, even though communications had been otherwise between the two of them. And so to avoid future litigation and confusion, we would like there to be a study of what those parameters should be and a little more clarity in communication.
Further questions? Senator Benson, I believe that we want to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, if anyone would be willing to make that. Senator Gimsey makes the motion to lay Senate File 565 as amended over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members.
And that concludes our business for today. I will just let you know that most of you know targets are going to be announced tomorrow for the budget bills. And so then we will begin work. I think that what's the deadline? The 25th. So that last week of March, we will be working on that. So if you have ideas, let us know. But what are we doing next Monday? Okay, we haven't set our agenda for next Monday yet, but... Senator Peterson.
Just as a note of announcement, my understanding is we're losing Senator Ellen Anderson. Is that correct?
Yes, my understanding is she's been appointed to the PUC, and I was going, if she was going to be here today, I was going to congratulate her, but maybe she has other things she needs to attend to today. So, Senator Pappas, if you see her, please pass on our congratulations. I don't know what we will do if we will get Senator Skoy back, who we enjoyed having on the committee, but we will need to replace Senator Anderson. I don't know. Senator Pappas, do you know when it takes effect? I didn't see any
dates. The 20th.
The 20th, so fairly quickly.
Right. Okay.
She misses the whole budgeting. Oh, poor thing. She's going
to. And the special election can't happen until April.
Yeah.
Six so weeks. Her district will be kind of without representation for that crucial period, which is unfortunate. But
Senator Peterson, you had something.
I would suggest that Senator Saxog's broad shoulders probably can could carry.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Her.
Thank you, Senator Peterson.
We have such great faith in you. Well, thank you all. And on that note, this is, you know, leaving on a happy note. That's great. Thank you, and we will let you know about Monday's agenda. Thanks. We are adjourned.
Maybe get too old. Skoy wouldn't have a problem. Except he's got four.